Today in Washington, the House Energy and Commerce Investigation Subcommittee is holding a hearing to examine the recent salmonella outbreak associated with peanut butter manufactured by the Peanut Corporation of America. An extensive investigation into this nationwide outbreak, which now involves the FBI, is concentrating on who's accountable for letting tainted peanut products from one plant in Blakely, Georgia, contaminate hundreds of other foods. Currently, 8 people have died from salmonella poisoning, and nearly 600 people in 44 states have fallen ill. Joining us to talk about this is Benjamin England. He's a 17-year FDA veteran of the Food and Drug Administration, that's the FDA, and founder of FDAImports.com. He's on the line from Columbia, Maryland. Ben, thanks for joining us.
Hi, good morning, John.
First of all, how does the FDA monitor something like Peanut Corporation of America, and particularly the manufacturing site, and what meant that this factory was in a blind spot for so long?
Well, I mean, FDA only monitors facilities like this through inspections. And, you know, food facility inspections in the United States, particularly sanitation-based inspections, are pretty low in number compared to what they used to be. So, you know, the issue, I think, is for the answer to that question is just the failure to be in the facility. The FDA is just not in there very often.
And that's a resource question, that there are fewer inspections, or is there some trigger for an inspection that, for some reason, Peanut Corporation of America didn't trip?
No, it's mostly that question is mostly resource. There's no trigger as far as a food inspection.
So basically, the Peanut Corporation of America facilities should have been inspected on a regular basis, and because the funding of the FDA declined during the Bush administration and before, the resources weren't there to do basic oversight.
Yeah, well, the funding issue has been a 20-plus year problem. But yes, the funding has declined. Consequently, the agency is not able to do as many inspections. This place actually was inspected a number of years ago, and some of these issues were actually brought up. Pardon me, I apologize. I have a cold I'm finding here. But a fair number of these kinds of issues were brought up during the earlier inspections, and I think the state was also in there, the state of Georgia. And either the issues were not observed, or they just were not handled aggressively when they were observed.
You know, given the sense of, I guess, sort of homey kind of, I mean, you know, peanut butter has a pretty benign reputation. You know, if your kids aren't going to eat the chicken or the broccoli, they're definitely going to eat the peanut butter sandwich. And so the idea that peanut butter could actually kill you seems to me to be an unbelievable reversal that the FDA has allowed to happen in terms of confidence in the food supply. How do you reverse something like this?
As far as confidence, I think the way you reverse it is that the agency should certainly be more aggressive with regard to what are called ready-to-eat foods. I mean, when you have a salmonella or any other kind of contamination risk in a ready-to-eat food, you are in a high-risk area because there's no further processing to that product before it's consumed, as opposed to chicken, for instance, where you know, everybody cooks chicken and they've learned enough that there's salmonella on chicken. But it's not even the fact that you're concerned that there might be salmonella or contamination on a food. I mean, you bring food out of the ground, you're going to have contamination on it. But if you're buying it at a store in a ready-to-eat condition, then there's a significantly higher risk.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment. Does the FDA distinguish between ready-to-eat food where there's no backstop, either cooking or washing, like you would do with produce, cooking, as you mentioned, with chicken, that basically you open a can of peanut butter and whatever's in there, you're going to ingest, period,
right.
The end.
Yeah, and the FDA does distinguish between the two. I mean, I think part of the issue with this Peanut Corporation, you mentioned the FBI being involved in, I'm sure the Office of Criminal Investigations. I was an Office of Criminal Investigation investigator myself for FDA, a special agent for FDA for a while. And when you get involved, if it's true that the corporation had knowledge, or that there were folks who were responsible at the company with knowledge that the peanut butter was contaminated and was being sold anyway, you know, that it kind of puts this problem into another kind of category. It's not your normal. Not your normal outbreak, because if you have somebody who's going to sell product that's contaminated with salmonella, and knowing so, I think you also have somebody who's willing to hide that from investigators and inspectors.
Well,
right?
that's actually a pretty interesting takeaway. I mean, if it turns out that these people are criminally liable for this contamination, it actually, in some sense, makes you feel better about the viability of the entire supply chain, Benjamin England?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, you cannot create a regulatory system, for instance, that prevents crime and fraud, because they're not designed to do that. So. It's not entirely fair to use this as an example of the breakdown of the FDA, although I think there is a breakdown of the FDA. I just don't think it's a fair example of it.
Well, and you've described the breakdown, but actually a very interesting point on the criminality being actually something that should cause us a certain amount of reassurance. Benjamin England, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure thing.